Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkeying around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
We go where we want to, do what we like to do. The only time to get restless, there's always something new.
And good evening. You are listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is the Dana Pretzer Show. Our website's located at www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. We're heard on Channel 46 on Trust Cable in Alabama, on satellite W3957, and wherever else you can pick us up. Welcome. Tonight, the Natalie Holloway investigation, Tim Miller from Texas EquiSearch, Jossie Manser from Diario, Larry Garrison, author and the Newsbreaker, Vicky, one of the monkeys who went to the Miami trade show to tell the folks what Aruba's really like, and your calls will be here. There's been a lot going on in the Holloway investigation, and we've got some breaking news for you. That's tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show. It starts in just 1 minute.
We're too busy singing to put anybody down.
That's Little Richard here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Lots going on with the Holloway investigation. Tim Miller from Texas EquiSearch will join us here in just a second as soon as he gets a clear cell signal. And we're going to have Jossie Manser, Larry Garrison, Vicky from Scared Monkeys, and all sorts of people on to answer some of the questions that you might not be getting the right answers to on cable news. That's here on Scared Monkeys Radio. My name's Dana Pretzer, and we're very glad to have you. We'll be right back with Tim Miller from Texas EquiSearch.
Okay.
Lived a good job in the city. Down in Memphis, I pumped a lot of paint out of New Orleans.
Okay, we're back. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. My name's Dana Pretzer. The Holloway investigation is in full swing again, and that's great. There has been searches going on at the Vandersloot residence, and somebody who has an inside track and maybe heading to Aruba himself is Tim Miller from Texas EquiSearch. Tim, welcome back.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just before we get to some questions that I have for you and Texas EquiSearch, what do you think about the new searches that have been going on at the Vandersloot residence?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's something that should have happened a long time ago. And I think that Greta reported that nobody ever asked Paulus Vandersloot if they could search his property, and that report was wrong. I went to Paulus one day over there, and I told him that we knew about some concrete poured, we know about abandoned well, and then there was terrible rumors going all over the world about him, and we had the equipment then to search that property, and if he'd let us search the property, the whole world would see he was cooperating, and we said very kindly to him, Paulus, can we search your property, and he went absolutely insane. I thought he was going to jump over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So he was asked if anybody could search the property before. He refused. Apparently it took somebody certainly with more authority than us to go ahead and do it. And I'm hoping that they come up with something there. I really don't know what they're searching for. I think more evidence than anything. But I personally do not believe Natalie's there. I think she's out in the sea. I think something happened there.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe something happened to Natalie at that house. And I personally believe that Paulus Vandersloot had something to do with her being taken out to sea. And I've got all my ducks in a row right now that it looks like mid-June we're going to be back over there and we're going to be doing a deep water search. And Natalie's case is not going to be forgotten about. This little girl that needs to be brought home.
Yes.
I hate what's happening to the island. I mean, the people on that island are wonderful people, the ones that we've dealt with. I think we all know that the island is supported by tourism, and all the people that work in the tourism business are going to suffer from this, and we certainly don't want that to happen. But you know what? It's one of our girls from right here, and we need to do whatever we can do to bring her home. So, you know, I'm looking forward to going back there, but my hopes is that they would find Natalie's body there and bring closure to this thing, but I don't anticipate that happening.
Question for you, Tim. You've seen the cable news coverage the same as I have. You mentioned some of the misinformation that's been going on. There's been quite a bit of it, and we'll deal with that a little bit later on my program here. This search that they're doing right now, I know it's difficult without you being there to comment, but you've seen some of the equipment and some of the reporting. What could they be searching for? And, you know, 2 years later, would they be able to find something?
I think so. I mean, we know that Urine's got some shoes missing. You know, we wonder if something happened there and there's blood on Natalie's clothes or something, and they're buried. And you know, it's very strange that concrete was poured just a short period of time after Natalie's disappearance. And, I you know, that might have been planned to be poured before Natalie's disappearance. We don't know. I don't think they're there for no reason at all. I think they're truly looking for something. And I hope that they are. I hope that we're not being fooled. And they're over there trying to make a big show, trying to make something happen just before the boys are going to be taken off the suspect list. I don't know. You know, we've been tricked many, many times in the past, and I hope this is not another trick, but I know this for a fact. EquiSearch is going back there. We're going to do the deep water search, and we're going to do everything we can do to bring Natalie home.
This concrete that you're talking about, whereabouts was that concrete poured?
Well, there was new concrete. See, I got reports, and of course, there's all kind of rumors going around now.
Right.
I got reports they're digging up the driveway and stuff, and when we was over there, I didn't see any new concrete in the driveway, but there may have been because, we were not allowed on the property, but we know about new concrete that was poured around the swimming pool. We know about the abandoned well in the backyard. And those are two areas we wanted to search. And we had ground penetration unit there. We had everything over there that to go ahead and search that. And again, we told Paulus Vandersloot, we can probably search this without digging up any dirt. And the whole world will see you're cooperating.
Right.
And he literally, and I want to stress this, literally went ballistic on us and screamed to the point that I felt as though all the neighbors could probably hear him, and was very, very angry. So I don't know. If I was in his shoes at that time and I was innocent, I would have let anybody search my property to go ahead and clear me.
Absolutely.
And that did not happen. And I'll never, ever forget that day, Dana. I'll never forget that day. When he came out there, he was sweating. He was shaking. I put my hand out to shake his hand and introduced myself. And I told him, I'm here for one reason. That's fine, Natalie. I said, we are impartial in this whole thing. And there's terrible rumors going around the world about you, and we want to help you clear up them rumors. And he wasn't willing to do it. But again, we didn't have authority. And I called law enforcement over there before we went to his house because I did not want to do something that was out of line. And then Greta actually reported that he filed a warrant for my arrest, or tried to after that, saying I threatened him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it clear I did not threaten him. We just wanted to search that well and that concrete, and we had the equipment to do it. And it didn't happen back then. It's happening now. I hope it's not one of them things again that's just trying to play a head game with Dave and Beth and us over here, and because we all know that, you know, 2 years is almost up and the boys are going to be taken off suspect list. So it's no more head games. Let's find Natalie. Let's find evidence. Let's prosecute who needs to be prosecuted. And let's let the island put their life back together. Let Dave and Beth put theirs back together, because we got a lot of missing person cases and that we need to be working. And you know, a lot of stuff's being neglected in ways.
You talk about a deep water search. Whereabouts, and how long do you think that will take?
Right now, we've got that set up for a 14-day search, a 2-week search, and we'll probably be searching around the clock. We're going to go over there with side scan sonar. We're going to go over there with a magnetometer, and we're going to go over there with a ROV. And you know, I think that Natalie very possibly is out in that deep water. We've talked about this before.
Right.
I think they put her in some type of container, possibly a crab trap, and a lot of this information came from Dog Pig. And it's going to be very, very difficult. It's going to be very, very slow. I don't think she's out that 3 to 5 miles. I think that if something did happen and they took her out there, they was in a hurry. They dumped her. I don't know if anybody knows, but after 150 foot, nobody floats.
Right.
So she's probably in 700 to 800 feet of water. And the good news about that is that there's the water is very cold down there. There's no oxygen, so there's not a lot of fish life. There's no UV rays, and it'd be almost like her being put in a refrigerator. So there will be evidence there. I've gotten reports myself that the Kelpo brothers are a little bit nervous because they don't feel as though she was taken out far enough and she's findable. And again, this is all rumors. But, you know, what's happening now should have happened 2 years ago. I don't know if people from the Netherlands at that point in time was willing to get involved as much as they're involved now. And I know we was involved. I mean, we made this special attempt, and very, very kindly, and I want to stress this, very kindly, asked Paulus Vandersloot if we could search his property. And again, I want to use this word, he went ballistic.
And again,
so, you know, we could have done it more gentle than this.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And again, back then when the search did happen, it was limited to Yoran's apartment, and there were questions as far as the limited scope of the search warrant and interference and all that sort of stuff. You're not foreseeing any interference when you go back in June, Tim? If so, how would you deal
with
it?
Well, you know what? We're working on some things right now, Dana, that in a contact's going to be made here soon. We've not contacted authorities in Aruba. I'm thinking maybe now. And I talked to Dave earlier, today, only about an hour ago, about, you know what, Dave, do we need to contact the people in the Netherlands or people in Aruba? And I think we're going to try to work with the people in the Netherlands, and hopefully they'll jump on board and help us do this. I don't know. You know, that's a bridge we got to cross. I don't know if we're going to stay in Venezuela while we're doing a search, or Aruba. I'm sure we're not the most popular people in Aruba.
Right.
But again, I would like to see the people in Aruba be able to get their life back together. Dave and Beth get their life back together, and let's bring some closure to this. It's been too long. Somebody knows something. I think I know what it is, and, you know, I'm not going to say anything to get involved in a slander suit, but I think it's evident what happened.
Tim Miller from Texas EquiSearch is joining me this evening. We're talking about the recent developments in the Holloway investigation. Again, it may be a little unfair for me to ask, but the search that's going on right now, we see the searchers with long rods, we see dogs, we see information coming across, or hear information coming across the cable news channels that say one thing and somebody else says another. What would the dogs be for? What would those long rods be for, Tim?
Well, them rods, and I want to make this real clear too. Those rods are, they put them rods down in the ground 4 or 5 feet, and they put them probably every foot apart, every square foot, and they'll wait 30, 40 minutes. And what that does is that aerates the ground, and then that will let a scent come out of the grounds. And then if the dogs alert on that, they will certainly dig it up. So, no, those rods are to aerate the ground to try to get some scent out of the ground. And I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping they find Natalie there. I'm really not excited about going back to Aruba. I wish they could close this now, and I'm more excited about going to a funeral in Birmingham where Natalie deserves to be.
Absolutely. Just before I let you go, Tim, the search that you'll be doing in June, you figure a couple of weeks. There's obviously a huge cost involved for something like this. The pundits and the ne'er-do-wells out there are saying that you're in for this only for the money, but this isn't what any of this is about.
Oh, you know what? Let me tell you something. Right off the bat, I went through 17 months. My daughter was missing. I know what these families go through. I was in San Antonio this weekend doing a search on a girl that's been missing 10 years. We didn't get a dime donation, and that's fine. We don't ask these families for anything. We've never asked Dave and Beth for anything. This is not about money. You know what? This is about bringing closure to a family. I know this for a fact. Dave and Beth can never have the opportunity to go through a grieving process until they know where their daughter's at, in the best place she could be right now, the only place she could be for them to grieve and get into that healing process, is at a gravesite in Birmingham, Alabama. If somebody thinks I'm into this for the money, they need to come down to my office. They need to pay some of these bills. I'm building a laundromat right now that's taking care of a lot of EquiSearch stuff. I still do construction work, and we still do searches nonstop. So, no, there is no money involved. Our books are open to anybody that wants to see them, and there's no money here. We're practically overdrawn right now. That's why we're having our fundraiser on May 19th. It's a hogs and horses again. We're serving barbecue. We're having four bands. We're giving away a brand new Harley Davidson that Stubbs Harley Davidson has helped us out with. So we can continue helping these families when they need us.
Absolutely. And
we don't, you know, we don't solicitate ourselves.
No.
We don't do anything. People call us, and you know what? Dana, we got real tears.
Right.
We cry at every one of these searches, and our hearts go out there. So this is not about money.
Absolutely. It's from the heart, and we all want the same result. I just want to clarify, is it later this week that you're heading to Aruba or in June?
We was trying to go to Aruba tomorrow, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And we're running into some problems with getting back in time because this weekend we're actually helping out with a child's function at the League City Fair that we're set up at the kids station doing awareness, fingerprinting and stuff. And then we're also set up at a festival downtown Houston, which again is doing awareness and stuff. We try to do awareness education so we don't have to search for people also.
Right.
So we've ran into problems with flights on getting us back to continue helping our children here.
Well, I know
that. But June, we're going to be there for sure. We thought we could get there this week and get back in time for our functions, but we still got our children right here in our backyard we need to take care of.
Well, I know we're all praying for you. The folks at Scared Monkeys wanted me to pass on to you that they will be holding a prayer vigil for you and your team for good luck. And we're all on your side. You folks at Texas Equisearch do this for the heart and to help. And I appreciate your time with me tonight.
Well, Dana, you know, I don't want to close with this one, too. I know that you and Red do this from your heart, too. There's no money. I've talked to Red a gazillion times. And Red struggles so much financially and stuff. You know what? And I don't believe majority of people realize people do stuff from their heart. And what you all do, what we do, what, you know, many of these organizations do, there's people around this country that do still have hearts. What the Mansuras do over there in Aruba, Jossie and Eduardo and Jossie Jr., what they've helped out with, and they've really put themselves at risk being on that small island.
Yep.
But they've rented equipment and boats and stuff, been out there all the time. There's people around the world that still have hearts, and I'm glad that I know a few of them.
Absolutely. It's my honor to know you too, sir. Thanks for dropping around.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Tim Miller from Texas Equisearch will be back in a moment here on Scared Monkeys Radio with the managing editor of Diario, Jossie Mansur.
Mustangs have it. Guess you better slow the Mustang down.
Yes, you better stop.
Okay, we're back. There's been lots of breaking news on the Natalie Holloway investigation. All you have to do is turn on any of the cable news channels and see that a new search has been going on at the Vandersloot property. There are many investigators there. Is this finally the time when the Holloway Twitty family will get some answers? I thought I'd bring on Jossie Mansour, probably one of the busiest guys on cable TV here in the last few days, to answer some of our questions. Jossie, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you for inviting me on with you.
This is, again, you and I have done many, many shows on this topic, but we're finally seeing something now that may lead to some answers being given. What brought about the search, and tell us a little bit about it.
You know, what happened is, you remember a few months ago, there was a team here that came from Holland, much smaller than this one, and they took with them a ton full of materials, documents, audio tapes, video tapes. They've been reviewing them all along, and at the end of their review, they came to some definite conclusions and also made some suggestions to their bosses. It was well received, so immediately afterwards we have between 10 and 20 forensic experts from the Forensic Institute of Harden down here to do this investigation all over again. They're starting all over again, no influence of anyone. They haven't spoken to Karen Jansen. They haven't spoken to Jan van der Straten or any of the other investigators that were involved in the beginning. They're starting fresh. They don't want to be influenced by anyone.
Now, we all know that the anniversary, the two-year anniversary, is coming up just around the corner. And at one time, the Vandersloot residence or part of the property was searched, and it was only a partial search. Just remind my listeners a little bit why that was and what's actually being searched this time.
You know, what happened that time is that the local authorities did not get the total warrant that they asked for from the judge. The judge gave them permission to search in the apartment where Joran lives on the property of his father, I mean, near the house of Paulus van der Sloot. They did go in. They brought out a lot of items in plastic bags, black plastic bags. All these items were sent to Holland, and we've never heard anything about those items anymore.
Right.
Whether they have positive results or negative results or whatever. They just send them there, and they were forgotten about. But now, on the basis of the conclusions of this new team, they got the warrant to search the whole property. So they must have presented to the judge here some pretty strong evidence that they're after, and were allowed to go with all their equipment, very sophisticated new equipment as far as the forensic field is concerned. And they came with cadaver dogs, and they came in full force. And they have been assisted by the local authorities also. We have about 10 local authorities from Aruba, policemen and investigators that are with them all the time on this search.
One of the things that's come up here in the last little while, Jossie, I'm sure you've heard it too, is the confusion about the two-year anniversary date. A lot of cable news outlets are reporting inaccurately, in my opinion, that once the 2 years is up, the statute of limitations as far as doing anything with a suspect as far as a murder charge would be done. You couldn't do anything.
No, that is not correct. Okay. That is completely wrong because, to begin with, the Ministry of Justice has extended that two-year period in the case of the main suspect, which is Joran. I know we got participation through a press release from the Ministry of Justice that states that very specifically. So, and afterwards, you have to understand that in Aruba, as well as in the U.S. and other places in the world, the statute of limitations does not apply to a criminal investigation. That is an ongoing affair. And if you are a suspect or you are not a suspect here, with whatever evidence, new evidence or new clues or new indications that come up, these suspects can be brought in again for questioning.
It's unfortunate that some of these cable news outlets are reporting misinformation. I'm glad you cleared that up. Have you got some time for a few questions, Jossie?
Sure.
The talk about the tip that came forward that led to this search, some of it is speculation, some of it may be totally accurate. Can you comment on that? And is it possible that the tip may have come from someone who was considered to be a suspect also?
Well, if they did receive any tips in Holland, we would have no knowledge of that. because that's far, pretty far away from us. But I know for a fact that there is a tip giver here that once before gave a very important tip as far as the property is concerned to the police. And now I understand that if approach this person again, and on the basis of that, which was passed on to these people, the first place that they went to is the Paulus property. That there is a tip, a pretty good tip, given to them by local people, by one local person.
There's talk about the driveway, concrete, long poles that they're using to dig into the earth. The driveway and the swimming pool area. Let's talk about the search itself a little bit. What do you know about digging up the driveway and other concrete on the property?
Well, as far as we know, they haven't broken into the concrete yet. As far as we know, I know that they've taken samples of sand from all over the properties of selected areas, which they will take back with them for analysis, for the proper analysis. They have these long poles with some kind of a detection hat on them, which they put into some sewer well, a sewer well that's on the property. And they also use it to test around the pool and at other locations on the property. From the house itself, they went in, and they came out with quite a few items that they are taking with them, some notebooks. They appropriated the computer, his computer for a while and gave it back. Maybe they already took whatever information they wanted to take, and other belongings of the family of that house.
Have you heard, Jossie, are there going to be further searches done, say, at the Calpo residence?
No, not the Calpo residence. I don't think that even comes into the picture, because no mention was ever made of their being even near that property with Natalie. But they did have a confrontation between the three of them, in which one part of them said, yes, they took Natalie from Carlos and Charles to his apartment. The other one denies that. So that he was in his apartment, we believe with relative certainty.
There's some
anything happened to her while there, we don't know. From there, they went to the beach to the north of the Marriott Hotel.
There's some discussion and some, again, cable news reporting about searches in some dune area. Can you tell us about that?
No, they went there. They were there yesterday. We passed on the news because a friend of mine was driving around in that area, and he saw the two vans with the dogs and these forensic people walking around for a while. They were there for about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and then they left. When I sent the reporter over, he met the two vans coming from outside of that area. But when he got there, they had already gone. I think they were scouting the area. They were familiarizing themselves with the area for any possible future searches that they would want to make while here in Aruba.
Have you heard any rumors of pending arrests or any of the evidence that they've seized as far as a timetable as when results may come forward?
No, none whatsoever. I mean, we have heard of no pending arrests at this time. It may come. It may come in the next few days or the next week, depending on what they find, and if whatever they find conforms to the conclusions that they arrived at while studying and reviewing this whole case.
You mentioned earlier about evidence that was taken earlier on in the investigation, and we never did find out the results. There was some evidence that was located by private investigators, a belt, for example, and some other things that was turned over to the police, but we've never heard anything more about that. Do you have any information about any evidence that they're actually looking for at this time, or some of the old evidence that may have been analyzed by this new team?
You know, the old evidence also went the same route as all those bags that they took from Joran's apartment. They were taken to Holland. We've never heard anything more about the belt. Art Wood was the man that discovered the belt in that area behind the lighthouse. We haven't heard anything more about those, or a human bone that was found on the north coast, or some other stuff that was given over to the police, sent to Holland, and we haven't heard anything anymore about any of these evidences.
Now that the new search is in full swing, the media presence must be increasing. What are the locals saying about the case now being wide open in the public again?
Well, they're very interested in this. I mean, the local population is very interested. They're slightly excited about what's going on, and they want the answers as much as we do. They want this case to be over with, but solved. We don't just want it to be over with by closing it as a cold case. No, we want answers.
Some of the pundits on the cable news shows, Jossie, are saying this is only a stunt by the Dutch government to finally put closure to this case and eliminate Joran van der Sloot as a suspect. Could you comment on that?
I don't think that is near the truth. If that were the case, why would they send such a highly powerful team of forensic experts? They could have just sent two or three people here, make a show, present some kind of a search or investigation and all of that. But these people came here with full force. They came here with dogs. They came here with sophisticated equipment. This is an expensive operation on the part of the Dutch government. I don't think this is a show.
What are you hearing about the response of Paulus van der Sloot? I know he's done a press interview. From what I've seen, he looks pretty nervous to me.
Well, anyone would be in his position, I would imagine, because here they are searching his home, which is something they have never done before because it was blocked. The former team was only allowed to go into Joran's apartment, and here he finds himself with a whole bunch of, real experts in the field, looking all over his place, taking samples here and there, getting into his house, taking out items. I think he should feel nervous.
Where is Joran?
He's in Holland. He's studying at a university.
Have you, Jossie, and I know you keep getting asked the same questions over and over again when it comes to this case, but do you think that now there is a concerted effort by the Dutch government by sending all of these investigators? Is this a case of being too little, too late, or we may finally get some answers here just before I let you go?
I don't think it's too little. I think it is a little late, 2 years afterward. But I think they're doing their best now. They're sending their best people. Look, these people are used to handling or studying very difficult and very problematic cases in Holland with a relative acceptable success rate. So there's nothing on the table that tells me, at least, that they can't be successful here too. Especially since they came here, they are looking for evidence to back up whatever conclusions they arrived at in Holland, the reason why they went to the main suspect's home before anywhere else. I think they know exactly what they're doing, what they're looking for.
Have your sources or your reporters told you, Jossie, how long the search will go on?
No, they haven't, but we see that they are established here, and they will be here at least for the next few days.
How have you been? I know it's been one exciting thing after the other. Your problems with the government to censorship of your paper, or at least the attempted censorship. What's been going on with you? Have you been going okay?
Oh, yeah, we're doing fine. We have to send the government a letter of gratitude, because instead of losing people reading our paper, subscriptions and all of that, we've gotten at least an average of 10 to 15 a day, new ones.
And this is all about the truth, is it not, Jossie?
This is all about that, yes.
And if you had a message to pass on to Dave Holloway or Beth?
I would tell them that let's be a little patient, because we think that on this occasion, at least, these people are very serious in what they do. They're very knowledgeable in their field. And they came here with a set purpose in mind. They're looking for pertinent information to back up whatever conclusions they arrived at in Holland. I would be slightly optimistic in this case.
Thanks, Jossie. I appreciate you coming on, and I'll stay in touch because I'm sure we'll have more to report on this soon.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're back. There's lots of breaking news in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway. I'm pleased to have Larry Garrison. We call him the Newsbreaker. He's the co-author of the book Aruba with Dave Holloway and his sister, Stephanie R. Good, or R. Stephanie Good, or Stephanie is Good. I'm not sure. It's something like that. Larry, always nice to have you. What's going on?
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a wild weekend with authorities digging up Joran van der Sloot's backyard. I've been inundated with calls and I kept my word to you that I would give you my first exclusive.
Thank you.
I just watched Good Morning America, which is one of my favorite shows.
Right.
And I do a lot of pieces with them. And as you know, we brought Yoram van der Sloot to New York for the interview.
Yes.
And Joe Tacopina, Yoram van der Sloot's attorney, was just on Good Morning America. And I was not only appalled, but I had to laugh out loud. Because Joe said that Yoram's backyard was dug up because this is the final phase to eliminate him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering now if they're going to go to the Calpo brothers and take all of their clothes and do DNA just to prove to the world. He's doing damage control. Basically, Joe knows that the Dutch has something. It's a little late, but better late than never. Hoping, we are all hoping that something might come of this, but I'm just appalled that Joe would, with his credentials and his credibility, would do damage control to the point where he can justify someone's backyard being dug up.
Yeah, it's hard for him to do that when he's not there. It's been almost 2 years now, Larry, since you and Stephanie and Dave wrote the book. Did you ever imagine that it would take so long to get some answers? Hopefully that answers are coming now.
Well, we, you know, we're working on our final chapter. And believe me, in the last 2 years, we knew that eventually the truth might come out in the end. It's sad for Dave Holloway and Beth Twitty only because it's their child and they need a resolution. And they're not going to give up until they get their resolution. It's just sinful that it was a cover-up. And to this day, Aruba is doing damage control, giving away free trips and trying to get people there. I would never go there.
Well, it certainly isn't safe. I was going to ask you that next question, the good journalist you are. You beat me to it. What do you think of the spin control that Aruba is doing? You see the prizes and there's conferences and a lot of networks are showing Aruban commercials now. Will they ever be able to survive this, assuming there is an answer to this case or not?
Not as long as Dave Holloway and Beth Twitty do not have a resolution to their case. I don't think so. These people are set on finding out the truth. They deserve the truth, and they're not going to allow them to get away with this.
You've had many decades of investigative journalism experience. You've written the book, The Newsbreaker. You've worked on many high-profile cases. Compare this case to some of the others that you've worked on as far as the public's response.
Well, it's funny. I put Google alerts on Natalie Holloway from day one and some of the biggest stories that I've worked with. I cannot believe how Natalie became the symbol of everybody's child, how people to this day still write me and they're going out and still buying the book, and how they ask how Dave Holloway and Beth Twitty are doing. I have a website on MySpace. The hits have been unbelievable. I honestly feel that Natalie being this symbol has helped other children and parents to become more aware. And Beth and Dave have taken a negative and turned it into a positive, and I'm very proud of them. They've become family. Dave, I feel very close with Dave, and I'm very proud of him that he has just not walked away from this.
I've interviewed them both on my show, as you know, Larry, and they've both the confidence that they show and the strength that they show in hopefully getting a resolution to this is better than most people would be able to do. I know myself personally, if this was my child, I would have ended up in the insane asylum a long time ago. It's amazing to see how strong and how committed they are to an answer. It's their child. Both Dave and Beth have said that, and they will move heaven and earth to get these answers. Let's talk about the media aspect of this. It's been quiet in the media until here just recently on this case, although I've tried to cover it the best I could on my program. Has the media been doing a good job here lately? We've had the Virginia Tech, Alec Baldwin. Now we're back to Natalie. It's been a wild, high-profile case. Media event here for the last month or two. Has the media been doing good, or have they been just running whatever they can, hoping that they'll get the ratings?
Well, certain shows have done better than others. Good Morning America, I've watched them report the truth. I'm very close with Diane Sawyer and Chris Cuomo, and I watched this morning and wished that Chris may have turned to Joe Tacopina and said to him, you sure they're digging up his backyard just to eliminate him? But he didn't. And, you know, I can't speak for another journalist, but
right. But
it's usually very, very fair. Certain entities, especially cable, exploited the situation with Natalie, just like they did with other stories recently. But other entities have really seriously looked at this case and have respected the family and helped them to get the word out there. And to this day, I will meet people, and I'm proud to say that I was part of keeping it alive over the period of time that it's been out there. And last night I was on the phone with Dave Holloway. Good Morning America wanted him on this morning, and Dave was not available, but said that if they wanted him on, you know, Tuesday, that he would make himself available, which is incredible that he, you know, he loses time from work. It's not easy setting up cameras, having people go there. You know, Dana, it's about the story. It's about the get. It's no different for you than for me and for anybody else. The American public has a fascination with stories that are, as I call it in my book, the Newsbreak, the oh my God factor.
Right.
My sister Stephanie wrote an incredible book called Exposed that just came out.
Yes.
And some of her stories working with the FBI and pedophiles, putting them away, those stories are just as important and maybe even more than stories like Virginia Tech or Natalie Holloway. It's just that what I'm getting at is the American public has a fascination with seeing what goes on the inside. And I have to tell you, so do I, because for 26 years I've been doing this. And it's like eating one potato chip. You hear the story, you become involved with the story,
yep.
You watch the story evolve. I don't like how certain people exploit the stories to the point where you don't want to hear about it anymore. And Anna Nicole, I mean, mm-hmm. That to me was a circus.
Right.
And at one point I had an opportunity to get involved and to do a book, and I walked from it. So, you know, at least as a journalist, you and I have the ability to choose what we want to talk about and walk away from the stories that we don't.
Well, I can say for sure that everyone involved with the Holloway case, you and your sister and the family and myself and everyone is hoping and praying that there'll be some sort of a conclusion. There's never closure. There will be a conclusion where Natalie can be brought home where she belongs, and hopefully this information that we've been seeing on the TV for the last couple of days will lead to that. Larry Garrison, the Newsbreaker, it's always a pleasure. I know you're busy.
I think, Dana, I'd like to say one other thing.
Sure.
Without you, And without Scared Monkeys, it wouldn't have gotten out there. It's unbelievable how powerful the internet is and how powerful radio is, and people should not negate that in any way. And I want to thank you for all the help that you've given us.
Well, I think it's yeoman's work, and I enjoy doing it, and we know that we're helping everyone involved. It's a team effort, and you're a big part of the team. Larry, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We'll have you on again real soon. If you could just stay on the air, or on the line, I'd appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back here on the Dana Pretzer Show.
Call your congressional representative and ask them to co-sponsor the Internet Radio Equality Act introduced by Representative Jay Inslee. SaveNetRadio.org for more information.
Okay, we're back in our continuing story of Natalie Holloway. We're going to try and focus the whole program tonight on the investigation of the Alabama teen who's been almost 2 years missing now. I'm going to talk to Vicky. Vicky is one of the bloggers who attended a Miami trade show on Saturday and Sunday to let the people know that Aruba is not all that safe of a place to be. We talked to some bloggers from Scared Monkeys and Blogs for Natalie here a while back that were at a trade show in Boston. And now it's my pleasure to have Vicky on tonight. Vicky, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Dana.
Tell me about the trade show.
Oh, gosh, where to start? You know, of course, we did this for Natalie to be her voice. We got a lot of positive feedback from the people attending the show. So many people, thumbs up, were giving us, and also shouting out, we'll never go to Aruba, answers for Natalie, beeping their horns, stopping to get the flyers. It was really very, very emotional, very encouraging, and extremely hot.
I'll bet it was. Did you get any hassle? I remember the Boston group weren't allowed to go in the convention center, blah, 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 that kind of stuff.
Well, we absolutely were not allowed on the Sheraton grounds if we were protesting or wearing, you know, Natalie's shirts or handing out flyers.
Right.
So we didn't even bother going in there. They had a very tiny booth there, so it didn't even seem to me like I wanted to waste our money going in.
Sure.
Just to look at them. We made more of an impact outside. They did call the cops on us and asked us to, you know, step aside from the driveway of the entrance of the Sheraton.
Sure.
And so we did. We complied. We stepped on the sidewalk. But then, you know, Sunday, it was pretty, like, I didn't even care anymore. I was handing out flyers and said, hey, if they decide to evict us or call the cops again, then we would just leave. But I thought, let me make an impact. And as the people were leaving the shows, we also handed out flyers.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's the point of letting the people know not to forget about Natalie and to remember that Aruba is just not a safe place to be. Your thoughts on the recent developments here? We're going to try and focus most of my show tonight on them. It's almost 2 years. The family, Beth Holloway, Dave, have been without answers for such a long time now. We've all hoped and prayed and had our hopes up and then been disappointed, and now here we are again. What are your thoughts as far as what you've seen lately?
I really pray for closure. I can't imagine, as a mother, as a grandmother,
Yeah. This
happening to anybody, and 2 years later, no resolution. So I am just so hopeful that God is going to answer our prayers, and we'll get answers sometime soon.
Well, Natalie certainly deserves to be home with her family. And the whole part about Aruba is that there's been so much corruption, there's been so much collusion and misinformation and lies. What was the point or the message that you were trying to let the people know when you were in Miami?
Well, we talked to a lot of people that were walking in, and fortunately they had young children with them, young girls, young teenagers. And we just explained very carefully that you don't want this to happen to your child, that you thought Aruba was safe. It's not safe. It's not one happy island. There's drugs being sold there. Nothing will be solved, or you will get no satisfaction if somebody happens to go missing in your family. So that's the message that we wanted to get out, and the flyers that we posted were definitely about that, that it's not safe.
Well, you guys are doing God's work. I applaud you. Is there another convention coming up that you're planning to attend?
Well, you know what, Dana? Hopefully, we feel that maybe within the week or two, Natalie's case will be solved and we'll know one way or the other.
We hope so.
And we won't have to go to the next convention or travel show, but I'll tell you what, if it's not solved, all the gloves are off. We will come out fighting.
Well, I appreciate what you've been doing. I know the family does, and we will stay in touch and keep following the story the best we can. Thanks, Vicki.
Thank you, Dana.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, now it's your turn. 1-306-842-7884. 1-306-842-7884. What do you think of the new developments in the case of the disappearance of Alabama teenager Natalie Holloway? We've had the experts on this evening, Tim Miller, Jossie Mansour, Larry Garrison, Vicki, someone who puts their heart and soul, all of these people, everyone involved with the blogs and the searches, put their heart and soul into this case because we want to help the family get the answers that they deserve. 1-306-842-7884. What do you think? Is this going to lead to something, finally? Is it too little too late? Obviously, something like this should have been done 2 years ago or almost 2 years ago. There are still a lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of misinformation being broadcast over cable news, and it just drives me crazy that these cable news people, sometimes these arrogant cable news people, will run their stories like they are the do-all, end-all. But I'll tell you what, I'll put our Scared Monkeys coverage, both on the blog and on the radio, on the internet, on satellite and on Trust Cable in Alabama, up against their coverage any day, as far as the information. Yes, we may not get the listeners that they do, but I'll tell you what, we're factual. We send out the information that the people want to hear, and we give the guests an opportunity to speak. That's the difference. 1-306-842-7884. You can call in and discuss our show this evening. Tim Miller, Jossie Mansour, Larry Garrison, Vicki, everyone involved. You could hear Vicki getting emotional. We all get emotional in different ways. This case is that important to us, and I think Larry Garrison said it very well about the good. There's a lot of bad that's come out of this, but there's been a lot of good. The poster child, I think that Larry said, how this has helped other families. It's now time to turn that table. 2 years is way too long, and help the Holloway Twitty family. It's just that simple. Will this search lead to some answers? Yeah, I hate the word closure because it's never going to be closed. Tim Miller says it best that Natalie deserves a funeral in Alabama. It's just that simple. 1-306-842-7884. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name is Dana Pretzer. We call this the Dana Pretzer Show. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, hi. Is this Dana Pretzer?
Yes.
How are you? This is Ophir.
I'm
the girl who wrote the song for Natalie.
Hi, I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yes.
And yeah, how are you?
I'm listening to your show now.
Thank you.
And I was just wondering what's really going on.
Well, I think we're all wondering that, and we hope.
Yeah, I've been following all the stories. Personally, I don't really believe anything I hear anymore. It's so distorted. Everybody says something else.
Right.
And I hear they've been interviewed on the networks, and one person say this and that, and the other one say the other thing.
And what we need to have is we need to have answers for the family because they've given so much. They've given their daughter. And I don't think you can make much more of a sacrifice than that. Now they deserve some answers to this terrible tragedy of theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, I did everything I can. I really hope
yes.
that the family will use the song for their benefit to spread out the word. And I think the song is stronger than having, you know, another interview in the media and telling the story. I think the song, you know, gives a lot more power, and I really hope they will use it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling.
And if you like it, you can enjoy and play it for everyone.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-306-842-7884. 1-306-842-7884. Yeah, whether it's a song that you write, a poem that you write, an email or a message that you send, we all have to agree that this is a tragedy that's gone on too long, that this family deserves answers. Hopefully, what's going on in Aruba today and tomorrow and however long it takes will bring some of those answers to the family. Hi, you're on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Dana, it's Red. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
It's been a while.
Hasn't it been? Yeah, and it's been quite a week on television, hasn't it? You know what drives me crazy? I got to rant here for a second. I'm flipping the cable channels, and I'm watching the coverage on this, and I'm seeing different information coming from different people. A lot of it's misinformation, and I haven't got a lot of hair left. And what hair I have left, I'm pulling out in chunks because it's driving me freaking crazy. And it's about time that these cable news shows are held accountable for this misinformation that they're pointing out there. I don't care if a lawyer from Washington, D.C., what he thinks, because I can say what I think, but we're bringing on the people here at Scared Monkeys. You're doing it on the blog. I'm doing it on the show that have been there. They have the answers. They're not just giving an opinion because they were a former DA in Butthole, Alabama, or wherever it was.
Well, I'm trying to remember, Dana, who exactly said it, and I think it may have been Clint Van Zandt at one point, had mentioned on the mainstream media with all the pundits, and even the guest hosts, why are they all lawyers? Who basically put it out there that a lawyer was the end-all, be-all person who knew everything, as opposed to somebody who had a background? Or, you know, with these pundits on these shows, have any of them actually been to Aruba? Have any of them done anything other than prosecute or defend a criminal?
Right.
And I have to take a piece from what Larry Garrison had said earlier, because, you know, the Joe Tacopinos of the world, you know, obviously it's his job to lie for his client. I mean, oh, I'm sorry, I should have used the PC word spin.
Yep.
But, you know, when you hear somebody make a comment of, you know, 20-some-odd people at God knows the thousands of dollars it costs to get these people from Holland to Aruba, came there for the sole purpose to exonerate his client. I mean, I would ask Joe Tacopino, but seeing that he ducks Red all the time on the talk shows and is afraid to actually debate someone who actually knows the story,
right,
if in the Amet Singh Gein case, if they went to Daryl Littlejohn's house to exonerate him, or did they go there because there was evidence against that person, or is it just a different story because Joe Tacopino happens to be on the other side of the coin defending, you know, not the defendant this time?
You know, and you're right. I want to clarify something. I said Butthole, Alabama. Alabama is a fantastic state. I'm going to say Butthole, California or Washington, because that's where most of these pundits on TV come from, and they're driving me nuts.
But I will say this, Dana. I mean, with the people like Jossie who have, you know, you have to remember, this guy is a busy person.
Right.
He's the editor of a major newspaper in Aruba. And this guy goes out of his way to answer questions. And, I mean, sometimes I feel bad that I'm emailing sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. And he is always there.
Yep.
He's always there to help. He's always there to get his people to do a translation, give us pictures. I mean, the things that you see on Scared Monkeys are no different than, you know, what you see on the mainstream media. I mean, although they're usually up first, and you don't have to wait till a show comes on at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. You can get it at any time during the day. But, I mean, it's, and you had made the point earlier, And the point was made probably in the very beginning of this case in the coverage, in that we had many a TV producer contacting us, doing stuff, taking stuff without permission, because we had it first. And because, and, you know, in some cases now, we may not always get the information first, but we get it right.
Right.
And we actually, as you said, let people speak versus putting out our own opinion. I mean, I could talk for probably 8 hours right now about the thing, but I would rather hear the people who have some expertise, who have inside information, and these are the people we deal with all the time. We don't always use opinion as to what we do. We want to hear facts from the people that know.
The misinformation is what drives me crazy. Tim Miller, for example, you can't find a man with a bigger heart of gold than Tim Miller. He said himself that Greta Van Susteren has been passing on misinformation, saying that no one ever asked Paulus Vandersloot to search the property. Well, Tim Miller did. What's the matter with Greta?
Well, and the funny part about that, Dana, is I was there when this all happened. I mean, this happened in July when the dump search was going on, and it happened. The request of Paulus, where he just Tim put it mildly when Tim says he went ballistic, because he truly did, happened the day before. We actually went and searched the neighbor's property, who, you know, the neighbor had absolutely no problem whatsoever giving us permission to search his property, because he was actually away on vacation during the time in which Natalie went missing. So obviously it was a natural thought process to say, oh my God, you know, this property could possibly have been used by the neighbor while another neighbor was away. And, you know, during that entire episode, you know, Paulus Vandersloot wanted, you know, he basically you know, threatened to call the police. And you know, it's one of those things. I mean, I'm still, as I told Tim earlier today, you know, I'm searching for the note, because we still have a copy of it somewhere where we asked him permission to search his property. But, you know, the Gretas of the world are more interested in the story than they are closure. They're more interested in carrying this on than they are coming to a conclusion. And that's what really separates us, you know, you, me, Tom, you know, the hard work that Klassen does, the hard work that the monkeys do, their passion for this. They do it because they want an end to this and to provide some form of closure, as a bad term, but
right,
closure for this family. The media does not. The media wants this thing to go on forever because they want to bleed it forever. And the fact that Gritton does misinformation is more to the fact of trying to, and she's not the only one that does it.
Right. No,
you know, there are other media outlets that do it.
That's true.
They basically they walk that fine line of catering to a criminal or catering to the other side's attorney in hopes of getting the interview. You know, whether it's the Calpos, whether it's Urine, it's the big, you know, they figure that they've got Dave and Beth, they can do that interview, but they want to cater to the other side, and they're willing to basically put lies out there instead of just saying it for what it is. It didn't happen that way, or you're lying through your teeth. Isn't it true that you're basically saying this, you know, to protect your client, which is obviously the truth. I don't have any issue per se with Joe Tacopino making some of these comments in a certain way, because he's paid to do this.
Right.
You know, but by the same token, you know, I strongly suggest the man get some sources that are actually credible, and please don't insult our intelligence so much as to, you know, that a bunch of people are coming there to exonerate his client. No. Yeah, that would be the case if Joe Tacopino paid for everybody to come down there and it was his own private people that did it. They would be doing it, not a bunch of people that, you know, have spent thousands upon thousands of dollars flying these people into Aruba. I mean, so it's kind of insulting that, you know, that the media does this, but yet by the same token, you know, it doesn't shock me anymore. At some point or another, some of the more sordid details of this story will come out. But, you know, dealing with the media all the time isn't exactly the cleanest business in the world, let's just say.
Oh, and I think that's true, and I'm getting emails as we're speaking here that our friend Jossie Mansour is getting raked over the coals by Greta on the show right now, that she's trying to take any suspicion that Joran has away from him. I don't understand it. If she's looking at that softball interview, it certainly wasn't anything but a discussion, not even really an interview. She's going down the wrong path, and I don't know why she continues to do that, because it only hurts the story. It doesn't help the story.
But she doesn't. But Dana, you have to understand, she doesn't care about the story.
Right.
She does not care. She cares about ratings, and what she's basically doing is taking the contrarian point of view just to aggravate or just to try to get the other side of the story. She doesn't, I was probably saving this for a later time, but it's not just one media person that said this. It's multiple media people who have said this over the course of these 2 years that we've been following this case. We look for conclusions. We look to try to help missing parents of missing people.
Yeah.
The media is looking for the next Natalie Holloway.
Yes.
That's what these people do.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's when you hear that, it kind of makes your blood run cold. Because why would you ever want anybody put into this situation? I don't care if it's my worst enemy. I would not want them to basically have their child go missing to the point where they never knew what happened to their child.
Yeah.
They were never able to basically go on. People's lives get so fractured from this. We've learned so much in the two years with all the stories that we've followed and covered and personally got involved with, that it's horrific. And it doesn't matter whether it's Beth or Dave or the Sonderholm parents or you name it. It or the Drew Kessie, his wife, all these people, their lives get so shattered.
Yep.
And they try to go on. And you see them basically just devastated. And it's very hard to do a story in many cases, because you can't get in their face and take a picture because it's just wrong.
Yep.
But yet, you know, we have a media outlet out there who, you know, it didn't get any more perverse than the Anna Nicole Smith story.
Yeah.
As to how pervasive this stuff gets. I mean, there were no heroes. I don't care. There were no heroes in that story.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
That's for
they
sure.
They were all looking for the golden lottery ticket.
Yep. That's for sure. Thanks for calling, my friend. I'm going to see if I can take a few more calls before I finish up.
Always a pleasure, Dana, and you keep up the great work.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. That's Red from Scared Monkeys, 306-842-7884. 306-842-7884. They say fair and balanced. Are you supposed to take sides, or are you supposed to report all sides and look at the facts? And look at the facts and say what they say. I just hope that in the next few days or in the next week or however long that it takes, that this family from Alabama get the answers that they deserve and are able to bring their daughter home. It's just that important. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dana.
Hi.
You need a, what do they call it?
Call screener?
No, recorder. Anyway, next
yes.
time you have Jossie on, and hopefully it's soon.
Yes.
would you ask him if there's anything in the wind as far as the investigation of the investigation?
Right. How do you mean?
Well, it seems like back in the fall of 2005, they brought in a special person to review the Rubin law enforcement's investigation.
Sure.
And now that we have the Dutch involved,
yep.
Is that still going on? Was there a cover-up? Was there a... You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Now I understand what you're saying. And there are 1,000 questions that need to be answered here. And we'll continue plugging away the best we can.
Well, with that many Dutch on the island that are experts, hopefully something will come out one way or another.
I hope so. The family deserves it, that's for sure.
You got it, Dana.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. 306-842-7884. What do you think of the cable news coverage on this story? We did what we could here this evening. Cable news has been covering it now for the last 2 or 3 days, and will continue covering it. Again, it just drives me crazy to see the misinformation and some of these pundits, these so-called experts, coming in and voicing their opinion. Of course, they have the right to voice their opinion, no different than what I do, but what gives them the knowledge to voice the way that they have been? You know, have they actually, like Red said, been to Aruba? I haven't. He has. I've interviewed the people that have been there and been knee-deep into this investigation. It's not doing the family any good right now to hear some of the negative spin, but we certainly need to have more positive spin. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dana. It's Lynn.
Hi.
I have a couple comments. One, just about the Dutch investigation. And I wish someone would ask Jossie if he has any information on this. You know, there are a lot of, we saw boxes and boxes of information from Reuben law enforcement being shipped to Holland.
Right.
Well, and we know that there was a lot of talk about things not being followed up on by Reuben authorities. Even Joe Tacopino will say there's leads that weren't followed up on and things. And I'm thinking about things like the Calpo's back seat, which we've often wondered, did they look into that? How did what appeared to be blood turn into chocolate, you know, and things like that? But what we don't know, and I wish someone would ask Jossie, is do we know if these Dutch investigators followed up on any of these things?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Did they make phone calls? Did they subpoena, you know, records and things?
No, that's
fill in some of the blanks. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's a good question, because there's been so much misinformation and so much lack of information that when it does come like this, we haven't heard much of this story for a while now, then all of a sudden in the last 3 days, bam, we're getting it from all directions, but what's accurate and what isn't? And yeah, you're right, a lot of those questions haven't been answered.
Well, it just seems to me that if they're going over all this information all these months and they see holes in the Reuben investigation, they would try to fill in those blanks. And aside from any tips they may have gotten, maybe they did fill in some of those blanks and pieced some things together. And, you know, they say that this NFI team is like our FBI. They don't tell anybody anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, and leaks aren't all that common. But, so, you know, there's just a lot we don't know. And I think that while we should be guardedly optimistic about the outcome of this new investigation, I think we need to remember that this is not Gerald Dompig and friends of Paula Sandersloot doing this investigation. So I'm hopeful. There was a former FBI man on Nancy Grace's show tonight,
yep,
who said, was just commenting on what he sees them doing, and he said, these guys are on a mission. They are looking for evidence.
Good.
Of what happened to Natalie.
Good, and it's about time. It's almost 2 years past due, but it's good. It's about time.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get the answers that the family deserves. What do you think of the cable news coverage while I've got you on the line here?
Oh, I've sent angry emails. I did send one relatively nice one to Kimberly, because I think she does a pretty good job. But
yes.
What I told her is that I'm tired of the Fox News host letting Joe Tacopino blurt out obvious lies without calling him on it.
Right.
And one of the main ones is you know, not all of us were there when Paulus VanderSloot went nuts when Tim Miller wanted to search. So we can't all unequivocally say that Paulus refused to let them search. But when Joe Tacopino is saying he doesn't even know if a Reuben police had access to forensic experts, and I'm thinking we had an FBI guy sitting right there, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the FBI has forensic experts, and we know they have worked with the Netherlands Forensic Institute. They would have turned information over to them, you know, to be allowable in a Reuben court. So Joe, don't insult our intelligence, as Red, I think, just recently said.
Yeah,
but in any case, and then I said that, you know, like, for example, Dr. Bodden was trying to make a point about how a Reuben police did know how to do it right, because they did it right with the security guards. They checked them for scratches. They searched their homes immediately. They went in like cowboys, as Karen Jansen said. They arrested them immediately. They didn't do that with Yoron, Deepak, and Satish. They arrested them, and then a couple days after, or 10 days later, and then a couple days after that, execute search warrants and partial search warrants. So, you know, I mean, and then Joe Tacopino interrupted him and said, "Oh, the scratches on Yoron were that was all rumor." Well, how do we know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, unless if the Reuben police had done it right, we'd know.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Joe Tacopina is just a spin doctor, is all he is.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. He's doing nothing more but just spinning things Yoren's way. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Time for one more call, 1-306-842-7884, 1-306-842-7884, and I remind you, our webpage again is located at www.scaredmonkeys.com. If you missed any part of this show or want to hear a replay of it, my daily commentary or any of my other shows, go to the webpage and it will be available for you to play right from there, to download from there, or do whatever you want to do with the file. 306-842-7884. I want to thank my guests this evening, Tim Miller, Jossie Mansour, Larry Garrison, Vicky, the monkey that went to the Miami trade show for Aruba and told the people there that Aruba is not all that safe to be. The voice of Natalie, I think, is what she said, and it helps to get as many voices out there to help this family the best we can. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dana. I was too overwhelmed. This is Ophelia. I was too overwhelmed and excited to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't say much.
Oh, that's okay.
I just want to tell you that, you know, since you aired the show, I got a lot of emails from supporters of the Natalie Holloway case. And they even wrote on my website, thepassionshow.com. And also the parents, they wrote me emails that they love the song. And I really hope, you know, I prayed so much for her return. And I really hope she will be found and, you know, will be a closure. And I told this to the family as well. I've been active on their website. I also want to tell you that there's also another site that working really hard and helping out every way they can, which is a grass site.
Mm-hmm.
People for Natalie, and they're also a very good site, and there's a guy hosting it who's a big supporter as well. So there's so much great energy around it. You know, everyone is trying to help and to contribute. And I've been singing Natalie on every show I make.
Well, that's very nice, and I'm glad you called back.
I know that. And, you know, some of my friends say, oh, if you're going to get on the show, okay, at least ask them to play a song.
Because
everybody got them to my website and listening to the song. And also on blogs for Natalie, you know, Debbie, the host, also put it up so everybody can listen to it. And grass from people for Natalie. So, you know, I kept in touch with everybody.
Well, that's great to hear. And again, that's www.thepassionshow.com.
Yes, thepassionshow.com. Or they can go to the blogs, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and if you like it, I would like you to hear the song.
All right, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, that's it. That's the Dana Pretzer Show for, what is this, April 30th, 2007. Good night, everybody. Remember, www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio.
Unspoken, glowing smile.